Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Rotor Report podcast. I'm your host Gav and it's the review show time as we run over all of this weekend's action in a bit of detail. I thought today that I would be joined as always by Martin Wanders in Australia, but he isn't here. So, his able replacement is Craig Chapman. How are you doing, mate? You're not in Australia, are you?
Definitely not. I am in the cold northeast. Although, to be fair, we've had a nice, prolonged, decent patch of warm weather of late, but it's very, very cold this evening. Definitely not Australia.
Well, I've heard it's going to be crap next week. So, where Martin is in Australia at the minute, it's like their winter time, isn't it? So, it's not the best. So, we can't even shade the weather there with... We've actually probably got better weather than he has. Enough weather chat. People don't want to listen to us talk about that. We came to talk about Sunderland 1, Bolton Wanderers 0. Wasn't the best game of football I've ever watched. When I went down for a pint just before half time, and I was listening to what people were saying to each other sort of in the queue, pretty much everyone, strangely, was saying, this is the worst we've played all season. This is a crap game of football, blah, blah, blah. And it hadn't really dawned on us to that point. I thought we'd actually done all right in the first half. But second half, big style was a bit of a barrage from Bolton, actually. And we had to defend quite a lot and work very hard and really sort of got a little bit lucky in the end with one or two chances that I guess better teams might have taken. But ultimately, we got the 3 points. And although it felt like a little bit of an escape, we clean sheet. We haven't kept a lot of them this season. I think you made a point to me before we chatted that, you know, we've kept 2 clean sheets since that collapse last weekend at Fleetwood. So overall, actually good 3 points when you consider how Bolton played.
Yeah, well, I think that's the most important thing first and foremost was after last week where we just ultimately fell apart in that last 10 minutes. So we needed a decent reply. Can't really take too much from the Wigan game in midweek because it was much change, but it was really good to see that... That we kept them out yesterday, and I think credit to Bolton. Obviously, they've received a lot of plaudits online, and they, they didn't go into yesterday's game with the mentality like they're a newly promoted side at all. We get a lot of teams who'll come up here and maybe try and shut up shop and frustrate us, but they took the game to us. I somewhat disagree with Ian Everett saying that they dominated the game. I think it was fairly open. It was a bloody good advert for League One football, in fairness, but. You're quite right. It's interesting how many people have different views of us. I don't think we played bad at all, really. I think it was quite a close contest. But we've took 3 points, and that's the most important thing. It's a sign of a promotion winning side, really, isn't it? If you're not your best and you're still winning, and I think Bolton really they were at their peak yesterday. At least that's what I'm assuming. Based on their post match comment, because Ian Everett was saying that they played better yesterday than they did when they beat Ipswich 5-2 the other week. So I think that's a pretty telling statement.
I was just reading what he said, actually, and the one that stood at me, he said, the whole second half, we had them pinned in. You could only hear our fans, which is a load of shit, to be fair, but yeah. You could only hear our fans, and that's a mark of how well we are playing. I'm sure anybody who watched that game will be proud of their team and proud of their performance, because it's a long time since Bolton Wanderers have come away from home to big places like this and dominated a game like that. I mean, they did play very well second half Bolton, but I don't think it was I don't think they absolutely battered us like he's maybe suggesting there. I mean, that comment about the fans, he might just been playing to the crowd a bit there, trying to sort of big his team up on the back of losing the game, really. But I'm not really in agreement with him. I think personally that had Bolton had a decent centre forward, they probably would have got something out of the game.
Yeah.
They couldn't convert the chances, could they?
Well, that's it, really. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with us for a large period of the game, and I think the longer it went on, I know you do that sort of "for Christ at Sunderland" thing, but they just did not look like scoring. They seen large portions of the ball, but like you said, they were very, very wasteful. And I think these sort of post match comments from Everett, from the Accrington manager a couple of weeks ago, it seems to just be parlour tricks, really, that they're talking up their side, and look, fair play to them. You know, they've come away from home and they've given it a good go, but just like every other team we've played at home this season, they've all left empty handed. So that's the biggest thing for me yesterday. Regardless of how well he believes his side player, we've still come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, we've had a question on Twitter from Michael Wooden, and he's asking whether we had a nice day out on Saturday. Don't know if you can tell by my voice, but I'm a little bit worse for wear today, so that's how much of a good day out I had, Michael. But we made the most of it after the game, about 6 o'clock this morning before I went to bed. I'm getting too old for this shit, man.
I think me and you had two very different Saturdays, to be fair, you doing that. But not to be fair, I had my little girl with me. She's 4-year-old and she's really got the bug for Sunderland at the moment. And
I saw your photos well with the players. It looked
yeah,
great.
Coming out at full time. I mean, she was deeply concerned and keep asking me how Dennis was doing. Obviously after Dennis went down injured in the second half. So we popped round and all the players made such a tremendous fuss over all the families and everything outside. It was great to see. So, you know, rather than walking away from the stadium at 5 o'clock, we stood there at 6:30 chatting to everybody. And it was just really good to see, like a real good feel-good factor around the place again. All the players coming out with a smile on their face, even the lads who didn't get on, the lads on the bench. Everybody had that spring in the step. So it's just nice going to the stadium light.
It is like, I've said that a few times to people. In fact, just standing in the crowd with me mates, like on Saturday, isn't it nice just coming to watch us now? Like, you turn up, and you know you're going to watch a decent game of football. Even though Bolton were for big periods of the game in charge of the ball and what have you, I was still really entertained. I mean, some of the chances we missed, that Pritchard one, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gutted that never went in, because the football... I mean, I've just watched it back before I came on. The football and the build... I mean, one touch passes around the corner, sort of. McGeady, I mean, it shows how much he's changed his sort of game, actually, over the sort of last year or so since he came back in under Lee Johnson, because he played a pass around the corner in the build-up to the chance for Pritchard. And then you see him absolutely busting a gut to give Winchester, I think it was Winchester, an option down the right hand side, and he didn't used to do stuff like that. I think what you're seeing now from Sunderland is sort of like everyone's bought into the mentality, the philosophy that Johnson's trying to impress on the players. They're all buying into it, and the result of that is, like, you're not turning up to games, and you know, we used to have them these spells under Ross and Parkinson, where we'd have one game where we looked like world beaters, and then we'd have another one where we were just lumping it forward and we couldn't compete. Whereas, even when we've been disappointing, you know, we got beat off Burton, we were brilliant in that game. Fleetwood drew 2-2 last week, but, the football and the goals and stuff in that game. I mean, even when we're not getting the result we need, we're playing good stuff. And it, like you say, the whole experience of just going to the game is a lot better now, which is probably why... I think the lads I go with, we keep making a big day of it. It used to be a case of, oh God, we're playing. Oh, well, I'm just going to take the car through and shoot off straight after the match. But now we're making a big day of it just because we're enjoying it again. And it's nice to finally be back at football games.
Yeah, I think it's funny. You see on like the socials, there's like a quote that's going around at the moment, like a reverse snobbery, because we can't do right for wrong in this division. If you celebrate a goal while you're Sunderland, you shouldn't be in League One, this, that and the other. And, you know, if you're getting beat off somebody, or if you're not taking maximum points, people are having a go at us. But it's like you said, I think it feels much, much different this time round. It has the hallmarks already of not necessarily seeing running away with it, because I don't want to get too overconfident at this stage. But we've started tremendously well. And I think that was the most important thing off the back of last season after such another disappointment, considering we couldn't go all season and then we get beat in the playoffs. And, you know, we could have had a much different start, say if we lost that game to Wigan on the opening day. But I think everybody's behind them at the moment. The atmosphere yesterday in the final stages to get them over the line was superb. The attendance has obviously gone up. It's just a real good place to be around at the moment. And long may it continue, because I think as this goes on, the longer we keep putting teams away at home, especially the supposed big teams in the division or the fancy teams, because I think that's six teams in the top half of the table that we've beat now. Nobody's going to want to come close, and especially if you look at Cheltenham come midweek. You know, they've hit a bit of a sticky patch as well. So I think somebody's going to get a good eye off us at some point, and we will convert all these chances.
I've said that a while as well. Like, we're going to give somebody a proper backside tanning, like, eventually. Because, I mean, the way we play, is we're going to come up against a team who are a total mismatch for that style of football. And we'll get on to Cheltenham, but I'm praying it's them. When we're talking about the football that we're playing, I'm not just talking about the attacking stuff either. I mean, the defending on Saturday, I mean, so good. Like, I think it was Carl Winchester, actually. I mean, regardless of the fact he scored a goal, his defending 1v1, nipping the ball away from people's feet and stuff, like, honest to God, I'm starting to look at him now and think I would never move him into midfield. He's so good at right back. He's just such a good defender, and he's so good on the ball. And then alongside him, you've got, obviously, Flanagan, who a total... He's come out of nowhere, really, this season and really established himself. After, I would say, and nobody can really argue with it, 3 poor years at Sunderland, really, for him. He's never been more than bang average, really. But this season, I mean, it showed how much we missed him when he didn't play at Fleetwood, because he come back into the team yesterday, we looked more organised, we just looked better. I think, to be fair, I'm talking about defending, I've got to maybe even it out a bit. Probably the worst I've seen Doyle play, and it wasn't his defending that was poor, it was his passing out from the back. It was particularly in the first half, I can count 4 or 5 occasions where he was passing the ball in the areas where we were under pressure or the player wasn't ready to receive it. When I was talking to my dad about it, like, I said, well, that's why he's been sent here, isn't it? That's why Man City have sent him to Sunderland at 17-year-old, because he's going to make their mistakes here. And that's part and parcel of just accepting him, like, why he's here. Callum Doyle, he's going to make mistakes. But what I like about him is that he doesn't let that faze him. So
yeah,
I remember that first season at this level under Jack Ross, when Baldwin was a bit like that. Jack Baldwin, he was a good ball playing defender, and when he made a mistake like what Doyle was making on Saturday, he went into his shell and he started hoofing it along, and he was making mistakes. Like, it just does not faze Callum Doyle at all, does it?
No, and like you said, for someone who at that age, you know, you could very easily get overawed, 17-year-old playing in front of 32,000 fans, you make a mistake. But again, the good thing about that spirit around the team at the moment is, you know, everybody's straight away there, offer that level of reassurance. It's all pats on the back. They're all recognising when somebody's, you know, done something well, whether it's a last-minute challenge or whether it's a good save. And like you said, look, he's probably going to have a good few of those games this season where perhaps he doesn't stand out and be the number one defender on the day, and, you know, that's absolutely fine. But it's like you said, Man City have sent him here to basically to learn, and he's come here to play men's level of football. He's going to have times where he's going to be bullied off the ball, but again, just a total all-round excellent performance, I think, across the back four. I mean, you're talking about Carl Winchester. If you think back to that January recruitment now, where we brought him and Ross Stewart in, I think it's reasonable to say that there was a section of the fan base who was slightly underwhelmed, that we're looking to bring, you know, a striker in from Ross County who didn't have the best of records. And then we brought Winchester in from Forest Green, and you're looking at it and you think, are these going to actually add anything to the team? And here we are 9 months later on, and they're both ever-presents. Winchester, in fairness, I mean, he's been absolutely incredible this season. There's been that clamour for 9 to perhaps drop into defence at some point, or Winchester to go into midfield. And like you say, there's just not a chance that you'd want to take him out, because he had something completely different. I think Saturday in particular, it was a captain's performance from him. And Yeah, again, yeah. He just doesn't get fazed by anything, nothing at all. I thought his passing was good, and when he's got that confidence going forward, he really does offer us something completely different to what we've had in the past few years. So, you know, long may that continue, getting that sort of performance from him. But again, if you look what we've got waiting in the wings, we've got obviously Huggins who could potentially come in. You've got Denver Hume who could come back in at left back if Sergen is going to be out for a period of time. So we're spoiled for players at the moment, but it's an embarrassment of riches, and you know, like you say, if Doyle, for example, was to have a bad game, then he can come out at any time, and then they're all going to have a fight to retain their positions. But it's an excellent position that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, I'm since we're talking about Winchester, where I talk about his goal in, the goal itself was brilliant. I thought Elliot Emerton's pass to play Dennis Certain in down the left hand side was a great ball. But then it was the sheer determination and the strength from Sergen to sort of shrug his man off, get down the outside, win the ball, and then put it into a dangerous area. Like you we talk about this all the time. That sort of area towards the back post is the most dangerous place to put the ball, because nobody really picks up the runner. And it's this season it seems to be Winchester. I mean, he scored 2 goals in the last fortnight or so. Just by getting in that area, obviously different types of assists, but the point being that, you know, you go fullback to fullback with the ball, and nobody picks him up, and he's a good finisher. We've seen he scored 3 goals this season now from playing right back. He's got a really good finish on him. The goal itself, like I say, it's indicative of the way we're playing, isn't it? It's like just nice to watch.
Yeah, and if you've got somebody like Winchester who's going to get forward at every opportunity, he is going to carve out those chances. And you know, if it falls to somebody like him, he's got a hell of a shot on him that could have quite easily went over the bar. But to keep it down, Sergen, in fairness, I mean, for that ball and throughout the course of the afternoon, his crosses, he caused them all sorts of problems. And it was just a shame that
he was my man in the match.
Yeah, he was brilliant. It was just a shame that he was forced off. I mean, we sincerely hope his injury is not as bad as it could be with it potentially being a concussion. But I think between them, they basically won us the game, them two. I thought they're excellent going forward. Any chance that Bolton really were breaking at us, they really sort of nullified their threat. They were honestly, I thought they were... That was the big difference between us and them. I know they had a lot large times on the ball, but I think the quality really shone through in the end.
Yeah, and speaking of Embleton's quality, then he kind of shoehorned Pritchard into the team through Gucci's absence, didn't he? Forcing Embleton into a weird episode. I think they did rotate quite a bit, but largely Embleton played on the left, which, to be fair, he can play there. But Lee Johnson in his aftermatch comments on the website, he was talking about how we basically had 3 10s and we were desperate for sort of penetration from those players, and it was difficult because they're not really, other than McGeady, who is a winger, like, you're not really going to get penetration from those players. And we've actually had quite a lot of people commenting on the fact Gooch was missing, because I was one of the people who were quite happy for, you know, to us to see something different with Gooch out the team. I think De Niro Miguel on Twitter, he's asked, do you think we lacked something going forward without Gooch? And it's a fair point, I think, actually, considering I don't really think Gooch has played particularly well this season. We did miss somebody like him on the pitch. It's weird, isn't it? Like, this happened with Flanagan the other week when we didn't have him. Like, you think, oh, we can probably cope without him, but then you actually, in the sort of reflection of the game, you see where you were maybe missing that little bit of what they can bring to the team. And we've had quite a few people actually asking about what we make of the Pritchard v Embleton situation with that 10 rule, and how all this feeds in. Like, I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but it's going to be a difficult one, because Embleton's been so important so far this season and Pritchard hasn't had a chance. It's difficult to really work out what to do with him, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Embleton, probably by his own standards, he was quiet in spells, but you know, every time he got the ball, there were some neat touches around the area. Pritchard really, I mean, we've talked about it already, but if he puts that one away from McGeady's little flick on in the second half, you're talking about that being goal of the month straight away. And
yeah, that could be the making of him in this team as well, if he scores a goal like that. I mean, all he had to do was get on the end of it and finish it off. And I mean, if you, we could have been sat here talking, oh, Alex Pritchard's up and running, he's scored. But I mean, to be fair, like, it was a good save by the keeper. He got in the right place.
Oh, it was excellent.
Had to make himself big.
I think what I'd like to see on Tuesday is I just want us to be a little bit more aggressive. And I think that will come. The issue that we've got, of course, is if, you know, we have to chop and change every now and again because of injuries or suspensions and things like that, we may lack that cohesion and they may need to get used to playing with each other for a bit of familiarity. But I agree with the guy who sent the initial question on Twitter. I think we missed Gucci's. I think some of the stuff he does goes unnoticed at times. He's a very fiery character, but he seems to get us down the field at least 10, 20 yards. And when we were penned in the other day, I think that's what we really could have done with. I think he would have got us further up the pitch. Mm. But look, again, like I said, it's an embarrassment of riches. So when he comes back from injury, he's not necessarily guaranteed his place straight away. And obviously Pritchard, you know, he done well. Embleton done well. And then you've got Diaku, who came on as well. And I mean, look, he's
going to come on to him.
He was electric yesterday. He was, you know, maybe a little indecisive, maybe trying to be a bit too flashy at times. But I think that's what you can perhaps expect from like a luxury player, at least what we've been told we're going to get. But again, if you look at the options we've got, if it was a promotion rival, if it was somebody like Wigan or anybody else up the top of the division, we'd be worried.
Totally,
I mean, thankfully that's Lee Johnson's problem to work out. But yeah, I think if we were going into Tuesday night now, I'd probably keep it as it was from the Bolton game and just play it from there, really. But they've all got to impress when they take the chance.
Yeah, I was going to come on to Diaco, so might as well talk about me. When he came on, you could see he was like eager, and we've seen this with pretty much all these young lads, I think. Especially in the home games at the stadium, like when they're getting that first opportunity to show what they can do. They're probably not playing the normal game. Like, I think you can say it was certain. His first appearance compared to Saturday, miles apart, like, he's so much better. And that's just as a result of settling in. And I would be sort of keen to point out to people not to judge these players too early. Like, I thought actually Huggins did well when he came on. I thought, considering he looks pretty right-footed, I think he'd done really well, and it looks like, well, if Certain went off with a concussion, which I think he did, which is the reason why we were allowed that extra sub, that means he's going to probably be missing now till next weekend, which gives, this is what we've been saying about these players, they're going to get their chances. Huggins is going to get a chance on Tuesday, and he's going to have to make it very difficult for Lee Johnson to drop him next weekend, and that's what we want. We want strong competition from these players. similarly, Diaku came on and could have scored an absolute worldie, couldn't he? that one when he turned his man twice, and then he had a chance to shoot, and instead of shooting, he went to go back down the outside and just got sort of dispossessed and lost the ball. But you're right, I think he looked electric. Like, I think our fans are going to love him because we love players who play like that. They're not scared to take risks, and they like flashy, you know, turns and tricks and flicks and showboating and embarrassing the defenders. We love players like that, and that's where he can sort of fill the void, because I know McGeady traditionally was thought of as a player like that, but it's not really. I think he's had to adapt his game a lot as he's got older, and he doesn't do much of that stuff anymore. Like, he's capable of the odd spin on the ball, and he's very good at sitting defenders down and stuff, but he doesn't really play like he maybe did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Aidan McGeady, whereas Derek is like just starting out, and I think every team needs a maverick, don't they, on the wings?
Yeah, quite right. And I mean, it's annoying because I think he had two really good chances, and the first one I think he really should have took, but the late chance where he blazed it over, you can perhaps forgive him for that one. But it's like you've said, I think it's quite easy to forget just how young these lads are. And they are very, very keen and eager to impress. They'll be looking at somebody, say, like Doyle, who's coming at the age of 17, and he's basically took our defence by storm. And then you think of Huggins. I mean, Christ almighty, that lad looks like he's 10 years old. But they've all impressed after a couple of games, and they will take a little while to bed in. It was the same with Torben Hoffman on his first game. You could tell that he, you know, he was... He, maybe a little bit reckless in the first 10 minutes or so, diving out when perhaps he should have been a little bit more reserved. But I think what Johnson's perhaps done is he's getting into players' ears, you know, to say, like, look, enjoy it, but you know, let's make sure that we don't lose focus. And I think that's the biggest testament of the lad so far, is that we've had a tremendous start, yeah. But we're not getting too carried away with it. And I think for Dyack, he'll give him a couple of games, and I think he'll really find his feet here.
I tell you who I was impressed with, their centre half, Santos. I thought he was great. Like, I thought it's the first time this season I've seen Ross Stewart meet his match. Like, you know, Stewart actually played quite well, I thought, but in those situations in earlier games this season where he would traditionally sort of get down the out, get long balls in behind, like, really, really good at getting down the side of the defender and winning the ball, and Santos just had his card marked. Like, and I'd never actually seen the lad play before Saturday. Looked him up, he's only 26 year old, big sort of beast of a centre half, isn't he? He must be 6'4" or 5". I mean, he looked huge. It was interesting to see Stewart meet his match, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I mean, credit to Bolton, really, because I think in the first kind of like 10 minutes or so, like, there was a back pass, I think it might have been Santos, where Stewart maybe had a chance to sneak in, and I think at that point we'd unsettled them a little bit, perhaps had them on the ropes for a little bit, and then obviously when the keeper had his injury, that's where it kind of took the sting out of it a little bit, and I think that's where they were able to sort of stabilise and calm themselves down. Who knows, maybe if it was if it was on another day, if they didn't get that opportunity to have a little bit of respite when the keeper got injured, where, you know, we really might have put them away. But you're right, he was impressive. But I think Stewart, again, equally impressive. He does a different job to what we've had. And, you know, you don't want to keep mentioning Charlie Wyke's name, but you find yourself doing it every week. But the chalk and cheese. And I think, for example, last season we were setting up in a very particular way where everything had to come from McGeady to him. And, you know, a lot of people are saying McGeady's not doing as much this season, and it's not to say that we don't need Aidan McGeady, but we're not as reliant on Aidan McGeady to do the work for us. And and I think Stewart will benefit from that as well, because he's got so many players behind him now who are chomping at the bit to give him the ball. And, you know, he didn't score yesterday, but I think he'll be banging form for the next game. But you're going to get these sorts of games where you're going to get big physical defenders trying to close up shop at times, but again, it's one of those. I think Stewart was absolutely fine.
Yeah, Andy gave man the match on the site in his ratings to Carl Winchester. Would you necessarily disagree? He said that he just pipped Dennis Sirkin to it. I think off the way we've been talking, we'd probably match up with that, right? I think he was brilliant, Winchester. Like,
yeah, argument to be had for both of them, but. I think Winchester is the only person I can honestly say who's probably not dipped below maybe like a 9 or a 10 out of 10 every single week so far this season. And if you think, although the position isn't alien to him, because he's played right back in his career, he played right back for Lee Johnson a number of years ago, but if you look at our defence and you think you've got young boys in there, Sergan's a young lad, Doyle's a young lad, Flanagan, again, he's come off a bit of a shaky end of last season, and then Winchester, who is traditionally a midfielder, it's a bit of a makeshift back line, but the way that they've performed together has been absolutely exceptional. And like I said, Winchester bombing up and down that pitch, he's a superb signing. And I think if people didn't know an awful lot about him and you just told someone, this is a lad we've just signed now to play a right back, then they'd be convinced that we've just pulled, you know, one of the best transfer deals out of the bag. And yeah, I think, I know it was mentioned in the press the other day, Lee Johnson talking about a little bit of a worry or an anxiety about people sniffing around our players come January. I think there could be a bit of interest in him. So fingers crossed we can kind of keep some of the championship clubs away from the likes of him, from Stewart and from anybody else, because, you know, we're performing well, we're grabbing the headlines now, so it's reasonable to suggest that we'll have people there knocking at the door in the next window.
Yeah. Since you mentioned it earlier, we'll talk about it. Cheltenham on Tuesday. Don't really know a great deal about them. Before I came on, you were like, well, do you know anything about them? I literally don't really know much about Cheltenham, other than the fact that they lost 2-0 to Wigan on Saturday. They're missing four of their best players by all accounts. So I think it's a good time to probably be playing them. They've just lost a game. They're probably lacking a little bit in confidence, having lost some of their better players. Are you optimistic? Because I am. Like, I'm every game at the minute. Just can't wait to see us playing. I think I keep saying this, but, and this isn't to be disrespectful to Cheltenham, but when you come up against sides like Cheltenham at the Stadium of Light, if you want to get promoted, you've got to get 3 points in these games, because you know for a fact that Wigan will. So, you know, they're the pace setters at the minute. They're the only team above us, and they beat them at the weekend. We've got to go and do the same, haven't we?
Yeah, totally agree with that. And I think, you know, with the way everybody's talking about how this season feels different and stuff like that, this is normally one of those fixtures in the last seasons where we perhaps would have had teams like Cheltenham and other teams come up and frustrate the life out of us and you know, maybe leave with a point. We kind of have that this season. We've got to ensure that we go into every game with the ambition of winning it. And I think we will. I think that's the way that Johnson's setting us up. And you're right about that, yeah. the way that we're feeling going to the match now. It does have that, you know, the feeling somewhat familiar to when Peter Reid was in charge during his promotion seasons. He would turn up every week and just say, right, we're going to win today. It's just the case of how many buy. And I don't know an awful lot about Cheltenham. Whilst we sat here talking, I was thinking, have we actually played Cheltenham before? And I just Googled it and I thought, Christ almighty, one of the fixtures that's come up. If we cast our memory back to the 2005-06 season, which is not one to remember, but we played them in the League Cup and Anthony Letalac scored. So what a memorable evening that was. And horrendous. Wow. Dan Smith sent off, who obviously famously upset Arsene Wenger later in that season. I mean, look, like I said, no disrespect to Cheltenham. I don't know anything about them. That might bite me in the arse come Tuesday night. And somebody from not the top 20 or D3, D4 can section this clip off and say why we should have done our homework. But I think we've just got to look at every single game from now and we've just got to say, look, you know, we've got to win all of our home games. And I think the fact that we've done five on the spin, we've had some tough games at home and we've come away without dropping a point, we've just got to continue with that. I think Cheltenham have got to be a little bit fearful. As you've mentioned, they've got a couple of injuries and stuff like that. Look, maybe it's one of them where they can keep the score to a minimum, but even if we win 1-0 or 2-0, I'd be over the moon. We've just got to try and keep pace at the top of the league now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the results and they've actually picked up some decent wins this season. They beat Ipswich 2-1, but I think everyone did for that first month or so.
Yeah, Ipswich are terrible at the minute.
They got through to the third round of the League Cup. They got beat off Preston last week. Drew away at Burton, which we got beat there. Drew with MK Dons, who had a canny start. They beat Charlton, they beat Oxford. So they're not mugs, like. I think they've come up. They've come up like Bolton have, with some momentum. I think that's one thing that you notice with teams coming up from League Two. The ones that have been used to winning all year last year, I mean, they come into this league with nothing to fear. They're winning sides. You know, a lot of them don't just suddenly become very bad at winning again. So I'm certainly not going to take them lightly. And I'm sure Lee Johnson won't either. But with that in mind, like I said before, we have to go into these games and be confident. Is there any major changes you'd make to the team? I threw it out on Twitter, asking people what they thought Lee Johnson should do regarding changes. Obviously, we mentioned before. Certain will miss out. I think based on the fact Huggins was on the bench and then came onto the pitch, he'll probably play left back, so that's a given. I think it's probably too early to say that Denver Hume will get in the team. I don't think he's even played 23s football yet, has he? So I would imagine Huggins comes in at left back. A lot of people wondering whether, because I think Gooch will probably be missing again, whether there should be some sort of change in those attacking midfield positions. People want to see Nathan Broadhead play, don't they? And I was surprised he didn't get on the pitch, to be honest, at the weekend, considering how well he played in the Cup. So there's an opportunity, isn't there, really, when you're looking at it and thinking, could you maybe bring out Pritchard and put Broadhead into the team and try something a little bit different? I mean, we keep saying this, just good problems to have, these, aren't there, really?
Yeah, and I think the last thing that we should be looking to do is put ourselves in a position where we make that many changes that that obviously we can maybe lose a bit. And then obviously, you know, then you've got the excuses of dropping points. So I try and keep it as consistent as we can. It's a winning side. I don't think anybody really in the side done anything that would warrant them being dropped. But of course, we've got a tough game next weekend down at Portsmouth as well. So maybe something to keep an eye on. So if you're looking at maybe rest some of the players, you know, perhaps Aidan McGeady, of course, you know, by Aidan McGeady's own words, he can play as many games as he can in the course of a week, which is absolutely fine. But again, there is a lot of players who perhaps do warrant a start at some point. Broadhead done incredibly well down at Wigan. He took his goal exceptionally well. There's still even a case for somebody like O'Brien to have more involvement, because the last involvement he had was obviously scoring that hat-trick down at Blackpool, and he hasn't been seen since. But again, all we can say, it's a really, really nice problems to have. But if somebody doesn't perform on the night and somebody comes in and fills the void, then obviously that's going to be their position until obviously they come out again. But yeah, no changes from me. I try and keep it as consistent as we can to go into it with a bit more momentum again. Probably reasonable to suggest that the crowd's going to be somewhat smaller. And hopefully the fans can obviously match Saturday's atmosphere, because I think that played a massive, massive helping hand in getting us over the line at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Stamp on Twitter has said he would make four changes. He would play Diakre, Wembleton and Broadhead as the three behind Ross Stewart. So he'd drop McGeady and Pritchard. And he would like to see Alves come in for Doyle because he thinks he needs a rest. I mean, there's quite a lot of mixed opinions on this actually on Twitter when we're looking through. A lot of people want to see Broadhead play. I see at Steve2013, he wants to see Broadhead play. Just scrolling further down, Mark Triggs again, another who wants to see Broadhead in the team. Quite a lot of people, Richie and Josh, they both want to see Diaku play, so it should be interesting. I don't think Johnson's going to make any major changes. I think he's quite happy, isn't he, with the way things are going.
Yeah, and I think based on, you know, last season, the fact that he had to keep chopping and changing, and with the back line, the amount of injuries we had and stuff like that, I think he'll try to look to avoid that again at all costs. Even, you know, if you look at recent weeks, 09 has been used as a bit of a battering ram at times, hasn't he? And perhaps he hasn't looked fully fit, and we've got concerns about obviously his ongoing condition. But it's one of those, isn't it? It's like if he, say, drops McGeady and one of these lads come in and they don't perform, then obviously straight away people are going to be critical over the decision. But I think, again, as long as we're winning games, you just don't change a winning team, and these lads are going to be buzzing going into every game at the minute, especially you know the way that the reactors beating Bolton. I mean, there was a couple who dropped to the floor. I think they were knackered by the end of it, of course, but it must be good turning up every single week winning games, especially considering last season it was played basically behind closed doors. I think they're all raring to go. And again, for those who aren't getting in, they're just going to have to buy the time, unfortunately. The Papa John's Trophy games will come up at some point. Obviously, we've got QPR way coming up as well. That'll be their chances. But for the minute at least, I'm seeing no changes.
Yeah, I'm going, in terms of a score prediction, I'm going to go with what you said earlier. I think we're going to batter somebody soon. I think it might be these. I think they're missing quite a lot of players, and we might just be catching them at the right time. So I'm fancying a 3-0. What about you? Are you as confident as me, or are you feeling a little less?
Well, because we've talked about it and said we're going to batter and somebody at some point, we're probably going to get beat 1-0, aren't we? It's the way it typically works. I'm going to say 2-0. I think ideally what I would like is just to basically beat a team comfortably, where even though we were penned in a little bit against Bolton, I didn't necessarily feel like they were going to score at any time because of how well we were doing defensively, but I don't want to spend the last 10 minutes of a game at home to Cheltenham worrying about that. And that's no disrespect to them. I would just like to see us play with a relative ease, knocking the ball about, because the game's already wrapped up. So I'm going to go 2-0. And fingers crossed, like I said, you know, we've been creating a lot of chances, and at some point they're going to go in against somebody.
Yeah. Right. Cheers, mate. I think we'll wrap up there. If people check back after Tuesday's game, of course, we'll might have a podcast. I don't know. Depends how the result goes. If we do batter them, I might fancy a pint after the game. If not, we'll be back, of course, every day this week on rotoreport.com with all your regular fan written articles, all the good stuff that we usually come out with. And yeah, we'll catch you later. Thanks for joining us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.